You guys have your Bibles? I don't have the verses on the screen, but I'm just going to be in two passages today. So I want to encourage you guys, you can even turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and get ready, but don't skip ahead, cheaters. But now, I don't want to start out on a low point, but we live in California. Now, there's a bunch of names for California, and most of them I'm not going to share today on the stage. But there's one I really like, and it's called the Quake and Bake State. How many of you guys have heard that? Quake and Bake. Quake and Bake. Now listen, you guys think it's a bad thing? No. You've never heard that? Okay. Now here's the deal. Quake because we have earthquakes. Yeah. So earthquakes, and now everybody everywhere else in the United States is like, I'm not moving there. They have earthquakes. And we that live here are all about, like, you guys enjoy them, right? Now we're waiting for the big one. And the big one we might not enjoy. I don't know. We might be dead. We'll see. But until then, I'm like, bring it. I want to feel them. I'm so disappointed when I'm sleeping during them. It makes my heart so sad. But so we're the quake and bake state. Now the bake state, that could have a few different meanings. Okay? It's not that meaning, okay? It's not that. We have wildfires. We have these. So we quake, have earthquakes. In fact, I had a buddy who had a shirt. He said, it was the state of California, said quake and bake state, and the top of California was all like cracked and crumbled, and the bottom was all on fire. We have gnarly wildfires here in California all the time. Unfortunately, some of you guys may have, I'm sure we all know someone who's lost a home because of the wildfires. It's gnarly. But because we have them so often, we've gotten really good at fighting wildfires. We kick butt at it. And we have all of these really rad tools that we use to fight fire. So I want to show you a few pictures of them. Can we show up the first one? How cool is that? Yeah. Now, I don't know if Brooke's here. Some of you here have seen this happen up close. And I really, really want to. Like, just, I don't want to be, like, too close where I, you know, turn into, you know, I'm toasted and or get covered in the orange stuff. I'm probably not good. If I was less of a man, I'd make a Trump joke, orange stuff. But I'm not going to do that. But I really want to see that. That is so stinging rad. Go to the next one. These super rad helicopters in. I've seen those go and pick up water at Santee Lakes and different places like that. They're huge, right? From far away, they're like, oh, that's the size of a car. And then you're like, oh, you could fit three cars in it. But all right, and one more. And this one, now I don't know for sure. That one might be the DC-10. I think it is. There's a bigger one. If someone, no? Oh, you're a pilot. Yes. Yes, you got caught. Are DC-10s bigger? Yes. All right. But that thing's huge. And we have figured out a way. And Jonathan, later, you can ask him all the questions. Ha ha. We have figured out a way not only to pretty quickly fill that thing up with all this orange flame retardant stuff, and then the helicopters to fill them up with water, but then to fly, and these pilots can land that stuff exactly where they need it. It's incredible how accurate they are. Occasionally they miss and they get like some motor home and it's funny. All the rednecks come out yelling, but we're really good at it. You know, and when we have fires, especially when thousands and thousands of acres are burning, we throw everything at it. We send the fire trucks. We send the helicopters, we send those planes and the DC-10s, and if it's really big, they have 747s, I read. And I could be wrong, but you guys don't know, only Jonathan. But they have these huge things, and they just drop off all this stuff, and we send everything. And the same happens when we're in a war, right? If we're in a real war, we're not going to be like, all right, just send Chris Bruner. I mean, he would do more damage than most of us. But we send everyone. We send the Army and the Navy. I don't think we send the Coast Guard. They're just, but we send everyone else. And we're like, we're going to go take care of it. We're going to do damage. And I've been really praying about what to teach on this last session. I've written a lot of messages that I was just not comfortable with, or I just didn't feel good about. And I think the problem as I was preparing was I was thinking about the wrong vessel. I was thinking too small. You know, we've been spending the last few days talking about how we prepare ourselves individually to be an honorable vessel, purposeful and useful for the master for every good work. And how we as an individual vessel can be strong and endure whatever we're doing. You know, and this morning, Pastor Mark talked about how we can focus and stay focused on the purpose that God has given us. And those are all really, really good things. And my prayer is that you guys leave here and you press into those things. But what's rad is as we do that, when we come together collectively, we become a greater vessel. And it's not greater like the message. Jesus doesn't get better. Like, you can't get better than Jesus. But the way that we can represent Jesus and the things we can do for Jesus and his name and his kingdom, when we come together collectively as one vessel, it is incredible what the Lord can accomplish through us. You are a vessel, but you are a part of an even greater vessel, and that is the church. And specifically here, all of us here, we are part of a franchise of the church, Foothills Christian Church. We are part of this church. And so we collectively in this vessel have a purpose. We're called to be used by God to do his work. And it is a good work. And he is a good God that's called us to do that. He's faithful to see us through it. Romans 12:5 says, so we who are many, many individual vessels, but are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. So you guys are in 1 Corinthians 12. I want to break down this passage, and I don't have it up there, but I want to really talk about what does that mean for us to come together as a bigger vessel. You know, I think about if there's a forest fire and it's just me, you know, occasionally you'll see some guy, and there's fires everywhere, and he doesn't leave his house. And he's out there with his hose. And I don't blame him. Like, honestly, I'd probably be that person, except my wife would kill me. But I'd be out there with my hose. But individually, it looks kind of ridiculous. Right? It's a hose, wildfire. And we can do good individually. We really, really can. But when we come together, we gather all the resources. And the helicopters and the fire trucks and the DC-10s, whatever. It's pretty dang incredible what the Lord can do through us and what flames he can extinguish as we come together united as one. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, for just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, whether Foothillians or Grovers or Skyline or any other church. We were all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one part, but many. You know, we are individual parts, but we can't be consumed by just thinking about ourselves, our vessel, our lives, and just, all right, Lord, this is my square, this is my bubble. There's something bigger that we're part of. You know, we could spend a lot of time focused on ourselves. You know, have you guys ever seen those memes where it's like, dude, skip leg day? You've seen those pictures? I have one. I Googled this. Man, it's hard to find appropriate ones. But look at this guy. I guess that's an NBA player. You can't tell. It's blurry. You can tell someone's like at Starbucks and they're like, let me take this picture. But Tyson Chandler, I think that's him. And the dude is yoked. But I'm pretty sure my legs and his legs are not that far apart. which is pretty cool because then you're like, I have the legs of an NBA player, right? But this is what it kind of looks like when we get focused all about ourselves and forget that there's a bigger body that we're part of. You know, we might have this guy, I mean, I'm pretty sure he could punch me and my head would just fall off, right? He's ripped and stuff. And we, if we just take care of one individual, just take care of one thing, we might be good as a church for a day. Or if there's something really needed to be done, we might have one facet, one small aspect of that we're going to be able to accomplish and do well in for a limited time. But that's not how it works. Like, no individual, I can't lead Common Ground by myself. I can't run one ministry by myself, let alone a church. But collectively, when we don't skip leg day, when we realize there's many parts to the body and all of them play a role and have a purpose, that's when we're going to be equipped to do everything. By the way, that dude, he broke his leg during an NBA game. No joke. He was like, should have not skipped leg day. But you could take that down. When we don't overlook aspects of the body, when we don't overlook that individual people and their purposes and what God has called them to do, when we collectively, we look around and we say, every one of us plays a role in this church. Every one of us has something to offer. And this ministry is lifted up. The young adults ministry is lifted up when all of you are in it and you're all doing something and you're all taking care of your individual vessel. I'm going to grab this one. This one's kind of weird, but y'all, no offense if you're that vessel. Like, there's a purpose. But we're going to get to that later. But you need to take care of your individual vessel. You need to take care of yourself. But when we collectively look out for each other, the Lord can do a work. 1 Corinthians 12 goes on. It says, if the foot says, I always think because the foot can talk, but because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for any reason any less part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And man, that you read that and you're like, this is just silly. But how many times do we say, man, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, and I can't preach. So, like, what do I have to offer? Or I can't, some of you are like, I don't even like talking to people. And that's cool. We have ministries for you, right? I mean, there are really cool, there's this one lady here, she is great. I really, really, really love her. And she transcribes the messages every single week. She's been doing it faithfully for years and years and years. And so we get an email once a week, and there's a whole message written out, typed, so I can just keyword search everything. Boom. She doesn't talk to anybody doing that. But man, she blesses a lot of people, and she helps all of us pass. There's a place for you no matter what you have. But we are so good at saying, but I'm not that. I can't do that. I don't look like that. I don't talk like that. I can't sing like that. You guys, I can't sing like that. But you, no. Verse 18, but now God has arranged the parts, each one of them in the body. Get that, God has arranged it. So you're like, I don't like my part. Talk to Jesus. God's arranged it. God arranged the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, to the head, to the feet. The head to the feet, I have no need of you. And that brings something else in. Like, we have to know as individual vessels that we play a role. Right? We can't discount ourselves, disqualify ourselves. No, we need you. But then everyone else, our job also is to look around and say, and I need that person, and I need that person. And I need that person. That takes selflessness. Now, I don't do that well when I'm just focused on my vessel, when I'm looking just at me, when it's all about me. I miss everything else. But when I realize I'm part of a bigger vessel, then I start to grasp those things. You guys with me? Verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Get that, seem to be weaker. He didn't say they're weaker. And those parts of the body which were considered less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our less presentable parts become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable parts have no need of it. They're there. They're presented. They're loud. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, so that there will be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. You know, if I was to ask you, all right, which is the best vessel? You'd be like, all right, I know the Christian answer. I can't say the prettiest one, right? Because that's vain and it's just like, it's not that one. Now, some of you would be like, all right, what is the plainest one? And you would make a great Amish person. You're good. But that's the wrong way to look at it. In fact, if you Google fancy vessels or something like that, if you just Google vessel, you have the Suez Canal and that ship that, yeah, don't do that. But if you Google just fancy vessel, a bunch of random stuff comes up. And I'm going to show you some pictures. Let's go ahead and throw this one up. I'm pretty sure if you have that in your house, you have a demon in your house. I don't know what, and it looks a little bit like it has a tail. You see? I don't know what that is. I don't want it in my house. But let's go to the next one. All right, that's pretty. It's that, oh, look, fancy books below it. Now, that vessel has a purpose. It looks good. Its purpose is not to hold water, right? That's not going to work. That's not going to do too well. Let's go to the next one. All right. All grandma one. Do you say grandma's ashes? Yes. Yes. That would last about 13 seconds in my house without breaking. I just looking at it, I feel like I'm going to break it. Go to the next one. All right. This is actually from Marcus Neiman or some. Neiman Marcus? Thank you. I'm actually a little bit stoked I got that wrong. I didn't mean to, but I'm okay with it. You could buy that, $500, that thing. Yeah. Hey, if you're going to do that, give me the $500 instead, because that is not worth it. Is there one more? Is that it? That's it. Okay. If I was to ask you, what is the best vessel? And we had, because we made these all, they're all similar. We're a little bit boring. My favorite color is gray. And you had even those to pick from, we'd be like, all right, well, do I go pretty? Do I not go pretty? Do looks play? God cares about, like, outward. He doesn't the way the world does, but he does. Like, we can write it all off, and I think we miss something there, right? But he doesn't place it as the importance, or it's different in the kingdom. But God doesn't care when it comes to all this stuff. His standards don't matter the way our standards. He wants a useful vessel. And these all, and those random weird ones, they all play a role. You know, if we're fighting fires, we're going to send the fire trucks to a certain spot. We're going to send the helicopters to a certain spot. We're going to send the planes somewhere else. We have ground crew that we fly out. Like, different people do different things. And vessels, they have different purposes. And so here it's saying, in that part, it says those parts which seem to be weaker are necessary. Because there's times when we don't understand why we would need that vessel. But we will. If the times, we might need it and we're ignorant. We're missing it. But just because we have no need of it now or it doesn't seem as important now doesn't mean we get to cast it out or treat it. We're part of a bigger vessel, and we need all of you. The best vessel is a useful one. And we all have been called to do slightly different things and have different personalities and purposes and gifts and strengths. You are a vessel. Take care of your vessel. But don't forget you're part of a bigger one. And we need you. So don't disqualify yourself. But also look around because you need everyone else. We have to guard against division. Verse 26 says, if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. Now this vessel we're part of here is Foothills. I'm really grateful for this church. And churches are a lot like, in the Old Testament, a lot like kingdoms. You know, this church was here before all of us. When I started coming to this church, it was already established. There's part of it that was here, and I'm really grateful for that. But faithful kingdoms they only continue to be blessed and to be used by God as they continue in their faithfulness. You know, this king dies, and then the next verse in the Bible says, and then the king's son so-and-so took over, and he did right in the eyes of the Lord, or he did wrong or evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then it will follow, so the Lord was with him, or the Lord removed his hand of protection over them. Foothills is in a place, is in a transition. It always has been. We always have, the leadership has stayed the same over the last 30 years, but we have had people coming and going to certain degrees, different vessels coming in and different vessels leaving, some properly, adequately, because they were called in and called out, others, not really. But you right now are part of this vessel that the Lord is using called Foothills Christian Church. You are part of it. And my prayer is that we collectively are going to be part of it for a long time. Unless the Lord directly calls us out, I want you guys to be part of this. And Foothills has done some incredible things. I mean, some really rad things. The way the city of El Cajon operates and the way they treat churches is different because of the way this church has done things the last 30 years. I can't go into more detail, but it is crazy. This church has started teen centers. This church has done Future Quest and youth events that have reached tens of thousands of youth. And we have been faithfully building up families for close to 40 years. This church has done really rad things. And in part, we get to decide how this vessel is going to be used going forward. Your individual parts of it, but we come together. You know, when we're talking about church, I try to stay away from Acts 2:42. It's just always used. But I couldn't today, so I'm sorry. But it started, there's Pentecost, and the church, Pentecost and the church starts, and it says there in 241, Acts 241, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. So there it's talking about individual vessels that were baptized and brought into the greater vessel, which is the church. God's administration. God used to choose to use kingdoms. God used to choose to use the nation of Israel. He doesn't do that now in the same way. He instead uses the church. That's his administration. And so we have to take care of those individual vessels. But it goes on and it says, and you guys know this, they were continually devoting themselves I want to pause for a second. What does that mean? Devoting themselves. I looked it up. The Greek, I'm not going to tell you what the Greek word is because it doesn't matter. And I have no clue how to pronounce it. But here's all the definitions. To adhere to be devoted, to be constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place, to persevere and not to faint, to show oneself courageous for that thing, to be in constant readiness. You know, yesterday Chris Brown asked us, how would you define, if you had one verb to describe your faith, what would it be? Where your relationship with God is at? For Timothy at that time, it was weak. It was alone. If I ask you the same questions about your relationship with the church, how would you describe yourself? And you guys, many of you are really dedicated. I mean, heck, you're at the very last session of this conference. It's been 3 days. I'm tired. I get it. My question is, are you at a place where you could say, I am devoted to the greater vessel that God has called me to in such a way that I'm readiness to act, to be there for it, in such a way that I'm ready to show courage and step out for that big vessel, to persevere and not to faint whatever comes against me, to continue all the time in the place and to give steadfast, attentive effort and energy towards that. That's being devoted. And this vessel that we're all part of is deserving of that devotion. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together. All the individual vessels were together, and they had all things in common. They were looking out for each other. No, we are called to be devoted to the church and for us to be devoted to Foothills. And part of me is like, that sounds kind of cultish. I get it. Not for Foothills' sake. For Jesus' sake. And you guys know it's not, if God calls you away, then we're going to support that. And we support, we invited other churches to this because we're about the bigger church. We realize this franchise, Foothills, is a bigger vessel of us individually, but it is one small part of the greater vessel, the church, the body of Christ. And so we want to collectively support that full body. But for us, Foothills is what we're called to be devoted to. Not for Foothills' sake, for Jesus' sake. That means being committed to truth. They were committed to the apostles' teachings. Man, this church, this vessel would be in bad shape if we weren't committed to truth. It didn't be bad. It doesn't take long if you start going sideways for everything else. We need to be committed to being poured out, to serving in ministry, to giving of our resources, our time, our energy, our money. And we need to be committed to the vessels around us, to each other. That's what being devoted looks like. Here's what I love about the way the kingdom works. When, first off, the Lord is so faithful to us. I mean, we often are these individual vessels, these clay, earthen, these fallible, these weak, these emotional. A lot of us, we're just a hot mess. Like we got, and Jesus is like, he meets us in that, and he says, I'm gonna meet you, I'm gonna redeem you, I'm gonna forgive you. And then I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to use you. But it doesn't end there. When we then allow ourselves to be honorable vessels. And then we take a step back and we say, but we're part of a bigger vessel, the church. Then collectively, the Lord expands what we could do. Individually, we could reach out to our families and our workplaces, but collectively, as a church, we could reach into communities. And the way organizations and government policies work. Think about youth ventures, stuff like that. But then it doesn't end there. Because when we carry those principles, when we carry what God is doing there to the bigger church, all of a sudden youth venture, which is made up of a bunch of individual vessels, and man, it's a weird hodgepodge group. You visit a youth venture, and there's a bunch of weird vessels there. And God uses it for a bigger purpose because they're coming together. But then you take that youth venture, that model, and you bring it to the bigger church, and all of a sudden we have something like Kenya, where 50,000 Kenyan youth are being reached weekly because of something God's doing here. That's because God places his anointing and his power and his authority. And when we have that bigger picture that we're part of something greater, not for our benefit, not so that we could be lifted up, but so that big picture, the body of Christ can be exalted, then the things we could do individually are multiplied and things we could do collectively are exponentially multiplied. And for a lot of us, this begins at Common Ground and Cultivate. I want to encourage you guys. You are needed. You have a purpose and a value. And if you feel like, yeah, but I don't feel like I'm being seen, don't give up. Don't walk away. Press in. Because there's times when the vessel might seem weaker or unneeded. But we need you. It might not be that time yet. We need you. Stay here. Because it's going to come. You have something we need. And even if that's the case, if right now your big thing, your purpose is not being poured out, you could still be part of helping someone else be used so that they could be poured out. We're in transition at Foothills. As I said, we kind of always have, but it's a little bit bigger now. You know, in 19, 20 months, something like that. I feel like we have a baby. We're counting months, but Pastor Neil's going to take over as our senior pastor. And this vessel is going to look a little different. But over that same amount of time, and our role here is going to continue to transfer. We're not all going to be young adults. Some of you didn't like, David, we know, you're an old fogey. And the role we play in this vessel is going to change. Let us be devoted to what God is doing here in such a way that 10 years from now and 15 years from now and 20 years from now, this vessel is continuing to be used for God's purposes and his kingdom in this community. You're part of something bigger. In a wildfire, we send everything. And we do it because there's value that's being burned up. People are in danger. Possessions could be lost. As Chris said, we're in a war. There is a war happening. And the Lord's desire is to send everybody. And too often we find ourselves where either we're not the usable, honorable vessel. So we got to take care of that. But then we can also find ourselves forgetting that we're part of something bigger. Collectively, with the Spirit within us and the calling and anointing the Lord has placed in us as His body, we can extinguish the flames of our enemy. We could save a lot of people, expand God's kingdom, and do damage against the enemy. Let's be that vessel. You guys bow your heads. Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we have your grace. Lord, that you have made out us individually. You've made this vessel, Father, honorable. I thank you. Lord, help me press in. Pray you would help every single person here to press in. To go further and take what we've learned here over the last 3 days, take it just further in our faith and in our walks for you. Help us use it. Help us be strong and endure. Help us be focused. And as we do that, Lord, may you help us collectively as your body, as this great vessel. Lord, help us to be used by you to build each other up. And then to go outside these walls and to build up your kingdom. May you be honored, Father. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray.